D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Hi, Trevor. How are you?
Adam, I'm great. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. So we've asked you over the past few weeks about Sonny Styles out of Ohio State University. And I stumbled across an interview that Styles did with Kay Adams on her podcast. And he talked about how he would love to play a Kyle Hamilton-type role in the NFL, of course referring to Ravens star safety Kyle Hamilton. Do you think Styles, with his background as a safety, now he's a linebacker, do you think Styles could successfully play a Hamilton-type role in the NFL?
I think he absolutely could, because of that safety experience and because of his freakish height, weight to speed. I mean, he runs about a 4.46 40, even though he's about 235 pounds and around 6.4 6.5. And so he is basically Sonny Styles, a safety with the speed of a wide receiver playing middle linebacker at middle linebacker size, or small middle linebacker size in terms of weight. And so he's a hybrid athlete that you just don't see very often. If you look at Kyle Hamilton, I mean, when he was in the combine in 2022, he ran about a 4.6 40, just under 4.6 in the high 4.5s. And so Sonny Styles is actually significantly faster than Kyle Hamilton. And we see that Kyle Hamilton has been such a game wrecker himself with the Ravens because of his unique combination of size and burst and recognition and instincts. And Sonny Styles has all of those things, except he's bigger and he's stronger and he's faster. And so I can see the Titans or whoever drafts him putting him in that kind of a role. Now, keep this in mind, that he can have that kind of a role also from an off-the-ball linebacker position. You know, that's the way that the Bears kind of used Brian Urlacher, who in college at New Mexico would line up deeper than a middle linebacker, but more shallow than a safety would be typically. And from there, he would just go downhill and wreck the play. And so Sonny Styles, it could have a scheme kind of tweaked for him so he could do the same kind of thing. And you could put him back a little farther off the ball because he's so fast. He can make up the difference and still meet the running back at the line of scrimmage if he needs to with a full head of steam. I think that is a great comp for him, with the exception that he's bigger, stronger, faster than Kyle Hamilton.
Trevor, yesterday we were talking about a conversation that your ESPN colleague Mina Kimes was having on her podcast about Jeremiah Love. And it led to us having the discussion of whether we've been exaggerating the potential impact of Jeremiah Love on not only the Titans, but whichever team decides to take him. Mina Kimes has been chatting about this with followers on X today, and she said something interesting that we're going to talk about a little bit more, I think, tomorrow. She said, quote, "I think a B-plus receiver is more valuable than an A-plus running back when it comes to the development of a young quarterback." Where do you stand on that?
I absolutely disagree. I think both are valuable for different reasons. But B-plus receiver will catch, what, 5-6 passes in a game? And that might be a lot for some games. And a B-plus receiver is not the kind of player that defenses have to game plan for. So they'll be out there doing their thing, and the quarterback will be able to hit that guy with regularity and move the chains. Okay, yay, that's good. But an A running back, like we expect Jeremiah Love to be in the NFL, will touch the ball somewhere between 12 and 18 times a game, probably more, with a third of those at least being passes, as many receptions as you would likely give to your B-plus receiver. And the defense will have to game plan for that running back, especially if he's like Jeremiah Love and has the speed and the skills to be able to be a pass catcher out of the backfield or move out to the wing, the H-back position, or move to the slot, or even go all the way wide. Somebody's got to follow him out there. And the problem is that if you keep a linebacker in there to stop Jeremiah Love on the run, then that linebacker is going to have to be the guy that's going to have to follow him out while he goes outside. And there's no way that guy's going to keep up with Love as a pass receiver the wider he goes. And so it creates matchup problems that defensive coordinators have to game plan for, whereas you don't game plan for a B-plus receiver. Now, having said that, their free agent signing, Wandale Robinson from the Giants, is kind of like that B-plus receiver, maybe even better. He's had over 90 catches each of the last 2 years for the Giants. He's a little guy. He's about 5'8", but he gets open, and he catches the ball. And when he's got it, if he's got a little bit of space, he's pretty shifty after the catch. And why that's important is because it allows Cam Ward to be able to throw the ball on high percentage throws that move the chains and allow the play caller to get into a play calling rhythm. Because part of the problem with the Titans offense in recent years has been they go 3 and out or 5 and out, and there's no real rhythm to the play calling now because they're off the field too soon. Whereas that kind of a receiver like Robinson is can help you keep the chains moving. But then you get that A running back like we expect Jeremiah Love to be, and all of a sudden you've got all kinds of threatening things you can do to him that make the defense have to take notes.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddux, ESPN and ESPN NFL analyst, as well as college football. Now, Trevor, I've always wondered this, because each draft sort of tells its own story, but within that story, there's always a run on a particular position. This year, what position do you believe there will be a run on, and do you predict it comes early, or is it later in the draft? And when I mean later, I'm talking about second and third round.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Derek. This year's draft is strong in receivers, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to see a run on them in the late first round and then into the second round. You know, Chris Brazel is one of those guys, a Tennessee wide receiver who's tall, he's fast, he ran in the 4.3s, I believe, in the combine. He's shown he can get downfield and finish on deep passes, and that kind of a deep threat that could take the top off the defense with legitimate speed and legitimate height is very valuable. And so will he go in the first round? I don't know that he'll go in the first round because Tennessee didn't use him with a lot of sophisticated route trees. They used him basically to go running deep down the field. In the NFL, he'll need to be able to do more than that. So that might bounce him down a little bit as teams try to evaluate whether he can do that. But he's one of those receivers in a group that includes KC Concepcion of Texas A&M, Denzel Boston, who's a big beast out of Washington, Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana, who had just a stellar season in their national championship year. I think all those guys are going to cluster somewhere late first and then into the second round. I think that the edge rusher is another position that you're going to see runs on, because this is also a pretty deep group of edge rushers. Not to say that they're all elite individual pass rushers, but you've got a whole bunch of guys that can line up out wide and go get after the quarterback if that's all they're asked to do. And I think once you start to get a couple of those go, I think teams don't want to let that get away, because if you hit on an edge rusher in the late first, second round, third round especially, you really have a diamond, because that's one of the premier positions in the NFL. Normally to get that elite guy, you got to take him high in the first round. But there's enough guys that some of them that are outside the first round are going to have really strong careers. I just can't tell you which ones will. I can tell you which ones I think have a good chance, but I think teams are going to be looking at that because of the premium nature of the position. And there's a bunch of them that can do stuff as a pure pass rusher.
Now, Borgonzi spoke at the, I believe it was at the owners' meetings, and he talked about there could possibly be two rookies starting on the offensive line. And when you look at this crop of guards in this year's draft led by Penn State's guard, how do you rank this position, coming into this year's draft?
I think that there are a couple of guys that I think you could plug in and call them, you know, good chance that they'll be starters in the league in their first 2 years, let's say. The thing is, though, after that, there are plenty of weaknesses. I mean, there's an awful lot of guards that are, and centers is the same way, that are either really strong maulers, but that aren't particularly fleet of foot. And when you get them out into a little bit of space, they tend to get behind and they struggle a bit. Then you've got guys that are really athletic, but they need to develop a lot of lower body strength to drop anchor in the NFL. And whether or not they can actually do that sufficiently is a risk that you're taking, and you're just projecting on them greater strength than they have now. Everybody gets stronger in the NFL, but a lot of guys in these big conferences, if they're not pretty strong now, it gives you a little bit of pause, right? And the guy at Penn State you're talking about is Venga Iwane. You know, and he's one of those guys with amazing power. I mean, he's a mauler. He's incredible that way. But quicker pass rushers give him some trouble. Mm-hmm. And guys that are quick to flow give him a little bit of trouble. Manuel Pregnon of Oregon kind of is the opposite. He's a guy that's really athletic. He's got long arms. He's got good technique. But the problem is his lower body mass isn't there so much. That's one of the reasons I kind of like Keelan Rutledge, the Georgia Tech guard, who a lot of people have kind of mocked to the Titans either in the second or third round. I mean, he's one of those physical maulers. His footwork isn't necessarily elite, but from a pass protection standpoint, people aren't getting around him much. And in the pre-draft process, he's played some center as well. So if he doesn't come in and start right away at guard, they may want him to give it a chance to compete at center, because I think he'd be a better center than he would be a guard. So these are all risks that you have to take based on the projected vulnerabilities of these guys.
Now, with that being said, Trevor, would you be surprised if the Titans went at least in the first three rounds all offensive guys led by who I want them to draft, Jeremiah Love, but then they go offensive line?
They could. The thing is, though, right now, is there an elite left tackle that they would take with the fourth pick? And the answer to that is, I think, probably no. I mean, Spencer Fano of Utah is a guy that will be taken probably in the top 10, but at number four, I think that might be a bit of a reach there. And that's just my opinion, but I kind of think so. The other offensive lineman, kind of at the top of the draft, tackle, Francis Maui, oh, come on, what's his name? Maui something of the University of Miami. And he is terrific at tackle. I think he'd be even better at guard. But do you really want your left guard to be Peter Skoronski at the 11th pick in the draft and your right guard to be Francis Maui Noah at number four pick in the draft? You know, I don't think that's where you want to invest, in the guard position that high. So I think that they'd be looking at interior offensive line, you know, later in the draft. Now, keep this in mind, though. I've been thinking that, you know, we're hearing so much about Jeremiah Love to the Titans, and it makes great sense. There's been a lot of mocks that have Jeremiah Love to the Titans, and those guys doing the mock drafts have contacts. You know, it's not like they're just pulling this out of thin air. And it makes me wonder if the Titans are letting it be known that they love Jeremiah Love because they really are looking at somebody else like Sonny Styles, a linebacker out of Ohio State or something, because right behind them at number five and then at number seven, you've got the Giants and then the Commanders, who Jeremiah Love would make a ton of sense for, who they may, if they think that the Titans are going to take him at number four, they may want to trade up. And the Titans can still get the kind of player that they need at number five or number seven.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday, and he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, as always, a pleasure. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam.
615-737-1025. Let's continue the Sonny Styles conversation, because Teron Davenport brought up Sonny Styles yesterday with us. Trevor Maddich brought up Sonny Styles. It seems that Sonny Styles has been gaining some momentum as the draft nears in a few weeks. 615-737 1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.